There's lots of ways this would apply. Probably even for many of us, as we talk about some of these things, they're going to flash back to some things we probably went through as we were kids, stuff we either learned or didn't learn, things our parents did really well, things our parents probably could have improved on, and probably hopefully in all of them, we learn and grow, and then we also learn and grow in the way that we parent our kids. If you want to kind of jump ahead, we'll be in Galatians chapter 5 this morning, Galatians chapter 5. I was trying to tell Luke this morning to put all the scriptures on the screen, and I kept telling him it was Ephesians chapter 5, and he was like, that does not say what this is supposed to say, Nate. So make sure you go to Galatians this morning and not Ephesians. We've been talking, and what we're talking about in this series is we're using a series we probably did a year and a half ago developed by Kevin Myers. It was called Home Run Life, and we're following the same idea, except it's now with parenting with kids. This might be a way for us to talk about how we raise kids and what our goals and objectives are. I'll try to stay out of the way of this thing so everybody can see it as well as possible. We talked about that we could picture the spiritual life to a degree. I'm really bad about drawing this side really bad, aren't I? I did that last week. As a baseball diamond, and that this is a way, here's the goal, right? Like, you can't perfectly paint an analogy of the spiritual life. There's nothing that's perfect, right? This is hopefully something that when you go, like, what's my objective? As a follower of Christ, what's my objective in raising my kids? You might go, this is a way I can understand it. I could put it on a piece of paper and say, how am I doing? How could I grow? So we talked about home plate last week, and that was with our kids, we're going to help them. Anyone? Love God first. That was the first thing. When we talked about the Home Run Life series, this was the connect plate. You need to connect with your Creator. Everything starts, everything ends at home base. If we don't start there, we don't get very far. So last week we talked about how we might help our kids cultivate a love for God. We talked about some ways we do that intentionally. The second base is a character base. That's what we're going to talk about today. Talk about loving ourselves is how we're going to talk about it with our kids. This is winning battles within. So as soon as we get connected with our Creator, whether we like it or not, many of us don't, he goes to work on us. That's usually the first place he begins and says, there's some things in you we need to work on. And so he goes to work on our character. We have to go there first because the next space is community, which we're going to talk about next week, which is loving others. How do we have good relationships? How do we have good friendships? How do we do well in those relationships? For your children, how do you prepare them someday to be married and to do well in that relationship? How do they actually not just connect with God and their Creator, allow Him to change them, but allow them to transform their relationships? And then on the Home Run Life, this was competence. For our kids, we're going to call it love what you do. What are your giftings and abilities? The things that God's given you passions for? And how do you do them well? How do you grow and foster the ability to use those gifts for the kingdom of God and to leverage them for what he wants to do in the world? And this is just a simple thing. Kevin developed it actually trying to talk to his kids about how they were doing spiritually. And this was the easiest way he could think of as he was sitting with his son to go, how are you doing at your connection with God? How are you doing on the inside battles of your soul? Are you winning in character issues? Are you winning with relationships? Or is stuff breaking down in some of these places? And that was a way for him to talk to his kids. So this whole series was actually, this book that he wrote on this was birthed out of the idea, how do I talk to my kids about their faith? About how they're doing. So today we're going to talk about second base, or first base, character. Character base, helping kids love themselves. In essence, helping them love themselves the way God loves them. This isn't just loving yourself for everything that you are, just some sort of blah, blah, love, whatever, you know. It's more of a, how does God love us? How are we valuable in His sight? And how do we begin to become all that He desires us to become? Because we want our kids to grow into spiritually, emotionally, character, sort of solid adults. Right? We want them to grow into that. So how do we do it? I'm going to read to you not the part of Galatians we're going to look at, but the part right before it, verses 13 through 15 in Galatians. Paul says this, "For you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you're always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another." I think Paul's saying in these verses that if we're not careful in winning at first base, if we're not careful in winning at character battles, if we're not careful at helping our kids win at character battles, then it's going to blow up the other bases, essentially. It's going to blow up relationships. It's going to blow up our capacity to actually do the things God has for us to do. If we don't know how to love ourselves the way God loves us, then we can't follow Paul's command to love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself at all, it makes no sense to love your neighbor as you love yourself, does it? the call is that even that we need to learn how to manage our emotions and our character battles, and we need to win those. We have to have a healthy view of ourselves. And then Paul says, once we do that, once we win those things, we have the ability to love others well, to live in community and to exist that way. So we want to raise kids who win in their character battles, who allow God to shape them and mold their heart and to love themselves the way God loves them. And we all want that, don't we? I think if I said that much so far, you'd be like, yeah, I want that for my kids. But we can get pulled one of two ways, I think, in trying to do that. If we want our kids to develop godly character, to win at character battles, to do well at their heart issues, I think we can sometimes go one of two ways. We can do one thing. We can do discipline with our children without emotion. We can try to discipline our kids into doing this without any emotion involved. I think you can probably picture someone that's like this, that falls into this category. Maybe it's your parents, maybe grandparents, maybe a teacher, but you sort of know these kind of people. They're the ones that think kids pretty much should be seen and not heard, right? They're very stoic. They don't express any emotion. They're like marble statues. My classic mental picture of this is this teacher I had when I was in like second grade called Mrs. Nedved. I think I've mentioned her in a sermon before, which is kind of crazy because that was a long time ago. But she was very memorable. She was quite a bit older than, and I was little then, so I don't know how old she was. But she had the beehive haircut. I mean, like the straight, it was probably like this tall. Whoop! Like it went straight up. It was dark. And she was always angry, like, or at least it seemed like it. She never expressed anger as an emotion. It wasn't even anger. It was nothing. Just solid stone face all the time. But she was brutal about the rules. And everyone knew it. It was like if you breathed too heavy in class, detention, right? Like she was hard on discipline. I've heard it said there's probably some people that convince you that aliens did land on Earth and embody people and take over their bodies because they have no emotions. Like that was Mrs. Nedved. Like I was convinced something was going on with her because she could not. There was no emotion. It was just harsh, harsh discipline. And that is a way of parenting. It's a way that some people try to get kids to win character battles, to win issues, to behave, to do the right things, right? But I think all of us know that it ultimately fails. It ultimately fails if that's the way we approach it. I think we've seen that. You've probably seen that in the life of people who have been parented that way or classrooms. I mean, what happened the second Mrs. Nedved left the room? It went crazy, right? Because nobody actually cared or learned how to value the system. They just were obeying because she was terrifying, right? There was nothing in you that actually had changed or was becoming a good person, if I could say it that way, because of her teaching, at least in the area of character. So we've seen this fail. We've seen discipline without emotion fail. Some of us still might do it, but I'd caution you in that. So instead of that, what our culture and what many people have gone to is the other, right? We've gone to, no, let's just do emotion and let's get rid of discipline. It's the other extreme. Feelings, the things we feel or want our kids to feel, become the things that drive us. They are the things that make the decisions. Because feelings are more authentic, and they're more real, and they're more true. And this is becoming more and more true in culture. Whatever it is that I feel is what is true. If you want to know if something's authentic or real, then do you feel it? That's not always been the mentality, okay? Some people will go, well, isn't that always the way it's been? No. There's been other generations who have believed truth was the thing that established what was real and authentic, regardless of how you felt about it. But more and more, it seems like we're being ruled by feelings, and our parenting choices are being ruled by feelings. So if it, you know the old song, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Right? Come on, you know that song, right? What does that mean? It doesn't matter if it's right. If it feels good, that's what you should do. And there is a way to parent this way, going, the way to win character is to be true to yourself, whatever that is that you feel, and I'm going to support and encourage that. That's another extreme. There are people that parent or interact with children this way. And they're more than just sort of cliches. I think these things are becoming more true in culture. Feelings make things right. How do you know it's right? Because I feel it. All these things. It's emotion without discipline. And I think it's a recipe for failure. Actually, I think it's a recipe to raising like really immature adults who have no capacity to actually wrestle with their own emotions because their emotions dominate their life. They just live out whatever they feel. And I think Paul, as we continue in this verse, chapter 5, I think he's going to give us maybe a different way to process this thing. Not just purely discipline, not purely just emotion, but something where emotions and discipline meet each other. And so that's where we want to go. So we're going to start in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. So I say, this is Paul speaking, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces constantly fight each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. If you've ever parented, like, this is where you, this is your life, right? Right here, every kid, every teen, every child. Conflicts between what is right, good, smart, morally wise, whatever, and what I want in the moment, what my feelings are telling me I want right now. Has that ever happened in your parenting life? Oh, I mean, I have a 15-month-old and this is happening, right? Like, these things start happening early. I was a youth pastor. It was constant with teenagers. Not judging any teenagers in the room. Just saying, it happened a lot when I was a youth pastor. Conflicts between what is right, good, morally wise, and what we desire in a moment, or what our feelings are telling us, what our flesh, Paul would say, is telling us. Paul is almost trying to parent us a little as followers of Christ. He's trying to help us be mature. He's trying to help us grow. He's trying to help us by giving us advice that will help us win at first base. And ultimately, I think, help us win in parenting our kids at first base. And the answer is to be led by the Spirit. The way to win at the first base is to be led by the Spirit. He even gives us a list of what it looks like, both when we don't do that and when we do that. First, he gives us a list of things it doesn't look like when we don't win at first base, when we don't let the Spirit lead. He gives us this list that says things like sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility. This long list of things, right? And sins like these. This is a whole list of things that happen when we don't win issues at first base. It's an interesting list. Some of those, as parents, we go, oh yeah, I don't want my kid, you can put it back up for a second, I don't want my kid to fail at sexual immorality or idolatry or sorcery or like a couple of these, right? Like, yeah. But do we read things like outbursts of anger? Or do we read things like dissension and division and go, man, those are just as serious in this character issue? I was talking to a really good pastor friend this week. It's not in my notes, but and he just got back from a trip that he had taken. And when he got back, there was some problems, let's just say that. And there were some people who seemed like all they really wanted to do at his church at the moment was cause some dissension. It's a much bigger church than ours. But he was really wrestling with this. What am I supposed to do to handle this? And how do I? And he said, the thing I taught, you know, some of these people, I don't think they realize that causing dissension or causing, Luke keeps making it go away so I can't see it, causing dissension or causing division, right, is listed in the same paragraph as sexual immorality, lustful pleasures, idolatry, as a sin, right? If we want to grow up and be spiritually mature, win character battles, love ourselves the way God loves us, work on our interior life, we have to work on these things with our kids too. This has to be what it means to be led by the Spirit. Don't act like children, I think Paul is saying at this first part. This is what childish living looks like. This is letting sin and your desires make your decisions for you. You can do better than that. God can help you do better than that as you follow his Spirit. And then he says, here's what that might look like. And it's the classic passage in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life. This is as we follow him: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. God's offer is emotions. These are really good emotional things with some level of discipline. There is discipline in that passage. There, in that list, there is also emotion in that passage. There is sort of the whole package. The goal of parenting is to raise kids who are self-controlled, not kids who are completely out of control, not kids who are controlled by parents either, right? Because a lot of kids are controlled by parents. I was controlled by Mrs. Nedved when she was in the room. The second she left, it was over. If you raise kids who, when they're 18, have no ability to decide things on their own, have no ability to make right choices on their own, and there's some struggle there. Don't read into this that if they're wrestling, you've failed. Some kids have to work through this for a while. But if we haven't built into kids the ability to start making right choices on their own, to understand what's right and wrong, to follow the Spirit's leading in their life, then we haven't actually parented really well. Okay, at this point, you're probably like, good list, Nate. I like this. This is fun. Follow the Spirit's lead. Help my kids do the right things. Don't be ruled by emotion. Don't go crazy with discipline. Manage them somehow. What does that look like? Like, these are all just things, right, that we talk about. What does that practically mean? How do I do this at home? How do I do this with my kids? I think there's a boatload of ways we could talk about that, but I'm going to just give you a couple this morning. And maybe it's a starting point for you or just some ways to add to what you're already doing with your kids. So here's three that I think we could pull from this list a little bit. Teach your kids to be honest or to have integrity. Let's start there. Teach your kids to be honest. Who knows, it can be really hard for kids to tell the truth, right? It can be challenging. How many of you are parents who had to teach your kids to lie? Did you have to teach them that one? No, none of us. They got that gift from you. Good job. Way to hand it off. I heard a story of a parent who wanted, I'm pretty sure it's a true story. He was gone for the day, and his wife had the kids, 3 and 5-ish, I think, and they wanted to go outside. It was raining really hard that day. They wanted to go outside and play in the rain, and they had some stuff going on later, and mom had them in the nice clothes or whatever, so she's like, nope, we're not going to do that. So they negotiated and said, well, what can we play in the garage then so we can have some fun in a bigger space? And mom said, okay, we can do that. So the kids went out to the garage, and they started playing, and they figured out that if one of them kept playing with stuff, so there was some noise happening, the other one could kind of go out the side door of the garage and splash around and play in the rain, and then they could switch, right? Because mom's in the house, and she just thinks they're playing in the garage. So they do this for 45 minutes to an hour, at which point they're absolutely, you could figure this, soaked, dripping wet, and mom comes in about, you know, an hour later and looks at them and says, hey, now we had this conversation a little bit ago. I told you could play in the garage. I didn't tell you could go outside. So she does what a lot of moms do, ask the question, even though you know the answer, did you go outside? And of course, what did they say? No, we were just playing in the garage. I mean, have you ever had your kids do that to you? They're horrible at lying, right? I mean, like you're looking at them going like, you are dripping wet and you just told me that you didn't go outside. How did that happen, right? Like, let's go down that road a little ways. At the heart of that, though, is a potential to unravel your kids if we don't work with it, if we don't figure it out. It seems humorous because they're so bad at it, but in the long run, being deceitful, lying is always is going to cost us. It's going to cause us to lose. It doesn't feel that way, even as adults, and so this is why we do it. It's why we try to cheat or why we try to lie, because we think we'll win. We think we'll get away with it. We think we're going to get somewhere, but in the end, it costs us every time. Usually what it costs us is relationships, or closeness in relationship, either with God or with other people, when we're not honest and when we don't have integrity. I loved a video of a parenting tactic. This is from Kevin Myers, the guy that wrote the Home Run Life book. He tells this story about trying to help his kids learn the impact of this sort of deceit or of lying and helping them sort of feel the effect on them in their life. And I loved this. I thought this might be helpful in this area of helping your kids be honest. So I'm going to let you listen to him tell this story about how he helps his kids with this.
Most fun is just using this tactic as a parent. When my kids lie to me, I simply tell them, if you get to lie, I get to lie. That's the deal. Oh, this is beautiful. This is so much fun, parents. Maybe you didn't get it, so I'll give it to you again. I tell my kids, if you get to lie, we all get to lie. Do you want to live in a world where people lie? Fair enough. And you're thinking, you don't really do this. Oh, absolutely. It's great fun. So I become a liar. And it's so much fun because I'm gifted at it anyway. So I'm capable. I have history in this. I've done this before. By the way, how many of you ever had your kids lie? How many of you have ever lied? See, so we're all good at this. Now, here's what I tell them. See, now that I found you lying to me, I get to lie to you. And I've literally done it. I told you this weekend that you'd go play at your friend's house. I lied. I know. Isn't that horrible? So you're not going. And they didn't. Because I lied. Remember I told you I was going to take you out? I lied. I don't really feel like doing that anyway. And all this good stuff that they wanted, that I told them yes, I was just lying. I said, now, after a week of this, how many of you want to live in a family where everybody lies? Because listen, if you get to lie, I get to lie. See, because most of us want to live in a world where everybody else has to tell the truth, but we get to lie whenever it's convenient. See, I have to assume that if you love your neighbor as yourself and you lie, you'd prefer to live in a world that lies. It was really helpful. It really helped. But my daughter told me once, Julissa, who's about 24 now, that I didn't remember. She says, Dad, I remember what marked me and changed me. She said, you bought me Mickey, little dog. I love dogs. That's a lie. And I always wanted a dog in my house. That's a lie. Dogs outdoors are awesome, not indoors, because it's going to wreck the house. But I love my daughter, so I bought her a dog, a little dog, Mickey. And I told her, don't take Mickey in your room until he's trained because he's going to pee all over your new carpet. It's okay, Daddy. What did she do? She took Mickey in the bedroom. He peed all over. So she went and got paper towels. So many paper towels, like half or a third of a roll of paper towels to try and clean it up, and kept stuffing them in the toilet. Some of you are catching on. She couldn't get the toilet to flush. When I came home that night, she says, Daddy, the toilet's backed up. And I said, well, I don't even want to know. I said, all right, how did this happen? She said, well, the toilet paper fell in and it just kept and it got all filled. And I said, really? Yeah, I said, wow, this is bad. Now, of course, as a parent, I figured a little bit out. After I cleaned up the mess, I sat down with her in the room. She says, Daddy, here's what you did. You said, Julissa, we both know the difference between toilet paper and paper towel. And Daddy knows you lied to him. And she said, then you started to cry. And you said, you have no idea how it breaks my heart when you lie to me. Because I love you so much, and I want to be close to you. But when you lie, it breaks a relationship, and it breaks trust. And I can't stop you from lying. All I can do is tell you how sad it makes me and how much it hurts our relationship. She said, and you left. And you didn't even punish me. And it was horrible. And I never lied again. Because if you lie, you always lose. But I want you to hear this. The goal was not merely to get my kids to tell me the truth. Listen. The goal was to get my kids to tell themselves the truth.
I love the way that he breaks down how being deceitful fractures things. It's not just that you didn't tell the truth, it's that you weren't honest with yourself, so you lost some battles here, and then it cost you here because you fractured trust. If we don't help our kids learn to be honest, learn to tell the truth, learn to have integrity, what we ultimately are teaching them in the long run is that they're going to fail at these bases. We haven't helped them see the result of their decisions. The sin, the thing that Paul lists, it always presents itself as a lie in my life, in your life, in our kids' life. That there's some shortcut, there's some way to get to what it is that we want without having to do the hard work. You don't need to work to get what you want. You can tell lies to get ahead. On and on, the lies will go. And we have to help our kids be honest with themselves about what they're feeling and what they're thinking, so they can own those things and then be honest with us and with others about what's going on. We could talk probably for a long time just about honesty with children, but my encouragement this morning is just to maybe take Kevin's point. It's a little humorous, but hey, if you get to lie, I get to lie. Or maybe help take a second point and say, how do I help my kid understand when he does, when he is deceitful, when she is deceitful, when they do something like that? How do I help them understand the cost of that in their relationships? So I think first we got to help our kids learn what it means to be honest and to have integrity. Second, I think in our culture now it's important for us to teach our kids how to be thankful or how to be grateful. And I mean that because I think we've lost this to a large degree in culture. And I mean it primarily spiritually. I want Evan to grow up and see life as a beautiful gift from God. I want him to see people with the value that God has given to them and receive them thankfully, that they are in his life. Every breath that he takes is a gift. To be thankful that God has entrusted him with what he does have, not to constantly be looking for the things he doesn't. And it's in a culture where he is constantly told he doesn't have enough, whether it's friends or toys or money or whatever. And I want to raise a kid who grows up being thankful and grateful for the many things that God has put into his life. It's not simply about being polite, right? Because we'll do things like help our kids say please and thank you. Like, we do that because we want them to be polite. But I think even when we do that, our goal is not just to be polite. We ultimately want our kid to be grateful. We want them to see that someone else has given them something, and maybe they've had to ask for it, but they've given them a snack, whatever it is, and that they learn to be grateful and thankful that they've been entrusted with that thing, whatever it is. I think we have to work in our culture especially to help our kids learn to be thankful and grateful for what God's entrusted them. How can you help your kids develop thankfulness? How can you help them see the many things that God has given them and to be deeply thankful for those every day? To be content. To mostly be thankful every day that Christ loves them, that he loved them so much that he died for them, and that he lives with them every day. And that is something to be thankful for, grateful for, and to keep us from being so discontent and so longing for other things and for more things. How do I focus my kids' energy on what God has given them instead of letting discontent grow in their soul? Maybe you do that over dinner. Maybe you ask your kids. We saw the video last week of a guy who did the word thing. Maybe another way to do the word picture is to say, what were you thankful for today? And specifically connect that thing back to their creator. Go from first base back to home plate and say, how did God provide this thing in your life? Even if it's just your parents or something you enjoyed. Help your kids learn to be thankful. Third, we're going to call it pay then play, but you could call it hard things then easy things, however you want to say it. This is one I learned and heard from someone else because honestly, I did not learn this one well as a kid. And it cost me in my college years in my 20s. It's essentially just do the hard things first, do the hard work first, the thing that seems difficult, and then do the easy things. Pay first and then play. I loved to play and I loved to put off any kind of work I could. And I kind of got away with it. I could pretty much get good grades for the most part without doing a lot of work. I was good at taking tests. But you don't really get away with it, do you? It bites you later. It came back and bit me in college. I lost my academic scholarship because I wouldn't do homework, and so I'd get C's instead of A's or B's, right? Because I hadn't developed discipline. I hadn't worked through some hard things in order to get to the easy and the fun things. I hadn't learned delayed gratification. This is important. The stuff you teach your kids in these things will ultimately pay dividends or not pay dividends as they grow. When you play first, eventually your life accumulates a lot of pain that will come in the back end. And your kids need to learn the value of self-control. It's one of the things Paul listed, the value of hard work. Mature adults always pay first, do the hard thing first. Immaturity is always to play first. Immaturity never wants to do the hard thing. And I want to help my kids, I want to help Evan develop the ability to do the hard thing first. So they experience a deeper and a fuller joy in the fun thing that comes second. Maybe there's a couple of practical examples. You could do things like school first, extracurricular activities second. In other words, you have to pay, you have to do the hard thing, doing your school before you do the fun thing, the sports or the theater or the music. Maybe you would do it character first and then school second. I think there's things that are more important than education in school, by the way. Character is pretty important. I would rather that my son come home from school. Do they have citizenship awards anymore? We had those when I was in school. Anyway, I would rather he come home with that award from school than that he would come home with some academic thing, because I won a lot of academic things, and I'm not saying I was a horrible kid, but there were character issues that then made it really hard as I got older because I didn't learn them when I was in middle school and high school. So the character things will eventually come back to bite your kid. So you might have to do the hard thing in helping them learn character before they get to do the slightly easier thing, which is just school. Not that that's easy. Some of you are going like, school's not easy, Nate. I know. Character issues first. Those are hard. Those are deep. Maybe it's clean up first and then do your fun, your TV or your video games. Whatever it is, how do you help your kids learn to do hard things? There's actually some teen guys who wrote a book called that. The two teenagers, I think they're like 16, and the book they wrote was called, they're Christians, Do Hard Things. That was the whole title of the book. They basically realized that they were brought up as teenagers and many of their friends were saying, whatever it is that's easy or feels good, that's what we're going to do. And they realized that a lot of the good things in life, and especially the things that God desires to build and grow in us, happen when we do hard things first. And so they said, we're going to write this book for our fellow teenagers to help them understand that it's valuable to invest in the hard things first before you get to the fun. And then the fun's actually more fun, really. Pay then play. Start that early in the life of your kids. So as they go off to college, if they do that in careers, they find success. They find fulfillment in what it is that God's called them to do. There's so much we could talk about in this area of character with kids, right? I mean, there's boatloads we could talk about. I'm just going to give you those three because that's probably enough for this week. How do you help your kids have integrity and be honest? How do you work on that? Do you do some of the things that Pastor Kevin talked about in that video with his kids? How do you help your kids be grateful and thankful people so they see the many blessings in their life that God has given them, they acknowledge them, they're aware of them, they receive them from him, and it makes them into people who are not constantly discontent with what they have? How do you help your kids grow up to people who learn to do the hard things first before they get to the play? I think if we could focus on those for a little bit, and then maybe God will bring us some other ones that'll help us as we parent. So that's all I have for today. Let's pray. Father, I think raising kids is hard, and it's different. All of us have different life experiences. All of us have grown up in different homes ourselves. All of us have kids with different temperaments and different ideas and different passions and different skills. So there's so many different variables in this world of children and raising them and helping them come to know you and grow up to be the kids we hope they'll be someday. So I just pray first for wisdom for every parent in this room. Give them insight into their kid's heart. Help them to understand what's going on in their soul so they can see the places that they need to grow. Will you help them be parents who develop a sense of honesty and integrity in their kids so their kids are honest with themselves about what's going on? They're not trying to deceive themselves or put off some false sort of image of themselves or get ahead by cheating or lying or stealing. But they're just honest about where they're at. And then they can be honest with others. They can be honest with their parents. They can be honest with people in their life. Will you help us to cultivate kids who value that deeply? Don't just do it because we tell them, but actually value it themselves. Learn to see why it's so significant. Will you help us to be parents who teach a sense of gratitude? God, maybe it's that we need to be more grateful. So we can model that for our kids. Will you help us to be people who just see the many, many things that you have done in our life and around us and through us, and we cultivate hearts of gratitude so that we can pass that on to our kids. And help us to do the hard thing, God. Whatever that is for us and for our kids, help us to teach them to do the hard work up front so they can enjoy the fun that comes after, the rest that comes after. Ultimately, God, we want to do that so that we win at these things. We have a deep relationship with you. We win in our character battles, the things in our heart, the things you're wanting to do. We overcome those things and we live a life led by your Spirit. Let the Spirit guide us in this as parents. Help us to instill that in our kids. Be with us this week and help us to enjoy a day off. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.